This is RÚV English Radio with Darren Adam, daily English language radio from Iceland's national broadcaster, RÚV.
Hello, this is RÚV English Radio. I'm Darren Adam. Thanks very much for your company today, and thank you for the first time in this particular electoral cycle to my colleague Stigur Helgason here at RÚV. We spoke during the presidential election.
We did.
During the summer, and I don't know if then we thought there would be a parliamentary election in the same year.
We absolutely did not think that would happen. I mean, of course, we knew there were problems within the coalition government, but at least my opinion was that they would maybe not see it through, but at least until spring.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of people thought spring
that
was
yeah,
be
that
the
was the general consensus that they would, if not until the end of until next fall, then at least until spring.
Until the spring.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it is happening. The parliamentary elections are taking place. The coalition, if you've been under a rock for the last month, fell apart, of course. It was blown up, if you will, exploded by the sitting or the current prime minister, the head of the Independence Party, one of the three coalition parties. And the caretaker government we have just now only has two of those parties, doesn't it? The Progressive Party and the Independence Party.
The left Greens decided they didn't want to take part. And which is unprecedented, basically. They cited trust issues between them and Bjarni because of his decision, and because they felt he should have at least kept them in the loop and not just sprung it on them.
Yes, but of course a lot of people felt that they were out of the loop, or indeed that there was no loop.
That's probably the main problem, that the loop was more or less broken when Katrín Jakobsdóttir, the ex-prime minister, ran for president this spring. That was, I think almost everyone agrees that that was the beginning of the downfall of this government.
So in a way, although they're unconnected, the presidential election has triggered this parliamentary election.
Yeah, I would say so,
yeah. Okay. Well, we're going to talk each week, apart from one, I think, between now and the election, which takes place at the end of November. We're sitting here at the end of October, so there's four and a bit weeks to go. And I thought we would just start by setting out where we are, because at the moment, the candidates are not yet in place. I think they've all got to be in place by Halloween, by the 31st of October.
Yeah, that's the day they all the parties have to turn in their candidate lists to the National Assembly, the Electoral Assembly. And the National Electoral Assembly will give their verdict, give the lists a green light on Sunday the 3rd. So that's when we'll know for sure who's actually in the running.
And the numbers are big here, because something like 1,000 people are needed to fill all the lists in all the constituencies. It's a sizable chunk of the population.
Well, most of the larger parties do turn in lists with double the number of electoral seats available in that constituency, but that's actually not the number you need. You only need as many as the number of seats. So basically, if you want to run in every constituency, you only need 63 people on all the lists. But most of the bigger parties have in total 126 people.
Yeah, so we get to some pretty big numbers.
Yeah, now, especially if we have like, we might have 12 parties. I mean, and then we have like almost 1,500 people.
And there are, I think, 11 parties definitely seeking to be represented, maybe 12, as you say. The Socialist Party, who are not currently in parliament, they think they might be in with a chance this time of getting above the 5% threshold.
Yeah, they might, and some polls have shown them above, some not. But they will definitely run in every constituency. Then we have the three, well, new parties. One of them isn't new. One was in the running in 3 years ago in one constituency. I guess you could call it Responsible Future. It's they more or less only campaign on COVID matters.
Okay. And can parties, if they want to, can they just sit in, or can they just run in one constituency? Can they just run candidates in one part of the country? So they don't need to run all over the place, but most will, of course.
This time around, most will or are trying to, but we've often had examples of parties who run in one, two, three constituencies.
Where they might be stronger than in other parts of Iceland.
Or in more cases, I'd say they're just not big enough to make up a list of
so they're concentrating
more lists than one or two.
There will be polls. There have been polls, of course, already during this campaign. I want to just draw attention to one that's really just been published this afternoon. Mm-hmm. This is by Maskína, one of the opinion pollsters, and this was published on Vizier around noon this afternoon. And what it shows... it shows something that isn't surprising. The Social Democrats at the top of the pile, if you will, the most popular party. They've been there for some time. But Viðreisn, how would you say in English? How would you describe them in English?
The Reform Party.
The Reform Party in second place.
Yeah, it's a right-leaning party, but to the left of the Independence Party. They've risen to second place. I think this is the first poll, maybe even ever, to show them as the second largest party in the country. So it's pretty big news, and they've been on they've been high flyers in the polls recently.
Centre Party in third place, Independence Party in fourth place. And if you run the numbers on that, you would get, this is just what the poll suggests, of course, the Social Democrats on 17, Viðreisn on 12, get you to 29, you need 32 for a majority. So even if those parties could work together, and they do have the same view on Europe, of course, don't they, on Iceland being in the European Union. So that unites them in the way that not wanting to be in Europe, I guess, united the three parties in the outgoing government.
Well, yeah, and I think... I mean, forming a coalition government after these elections, if the results are going to be anything close to what the polls are showing, it's going to be very tricky.
Yeah.
Because the Social Democrats are probably not too inclined to work with especially the Centre Party and maybe the Independence Party. Those are three of the four largest parties. I'm guessing the Reform Party and the Centre Party would have a very tough time working together. So right now I don't see any clear pattern.
Yes. Emerging. But then could anyone have predicted the coalition which, let's not forget, ran for two terms?
Exactly. No, probably not. I mean, some people would say they had, but...
Stranger things have happened.
Strange things have happened. I wouldn't go so far as to say they were stranger than this.
Okay. So once we get past the point that the candidates are all selected and approved, they can't be judges. I think there are other things that have to apply to them as well. So once that list is set and the candidates have all been confirmed as valid candidates, what's the next step? Because that feels like that will be a significant moment. It might feel even like the campaign has really started.
Well, I would even say the campaign has started, and we're not here at RÚV. We're not even going to wait until the National Electoral Commission gives its verdict. We're going to start with televised debates this Friday, the day after the lists have to be turned in. So we're just going to take a leap of faith, if you will. I mean, maybe we'll have someone there who eventually is disqualified, and that's just the way it is.
Yes. And these are going to be leaders, party leaders?
Party leaders, yeah. Friday night.
Because there's a lot of party leaders.
12, if everyone runs. Yes.
Which I think is the same number of presidential candidates.
Yeah, it's the same number. It's a lot. It's manageable, but it's a lot.
it was manageable back in the summer, of course. So that starts on RÚV on Friday. And the coverage, of course, will just ramp up throughout the course of the month as well. Now, we did go over this with our colleague Boye a couple of weeks ago on Roof English Radio. Basically, you need to be an Icelandic citizen to be able to vote in this parliamentary election.
Yes.
If you're a resident but not a citizen, you can vote in local elections, but this is a parliamentary election, so you've got to be a citizen.
Exactly.
Do people need to register? Might they already be on the electoral register? Do we know if there's a process that it's worth checking to see if you're registered?
To be honest, I think most people, at least Icelanders, are just... I think if you are an Icelandic citizen, you're just...
You're
already registered. You just show up with ID and that's that.
Yes.
You shouldn't have to do anything other than that unless you're abroad and have to vote at an embassy or something.
Yes, and that's different in every different place. Yeah. Well, I mean, my own experience of this, voting for the first time as a citizen during the summer, I didn't need to do anything. I just turned up with my passport and or driving license. With the ID, of course, you can then vote with that as well. It was a very exciting experience to vote for the first time. Did it again by post for the UK election about a month later. Of course, this is my third election this year. So exciting times ahead. And what's interesting to me is that, you know, again, looking at these numbers from not just this poll, but all the polls, it's difficult to see a stable coalition, but, you know, one
it's
will probably
difficult.
Form.
Yeah.
But if it isn't stable, do we potentially find ourselves going through this again in a year or 2 years?
Could happen. I mean, there are two possible scenarios that could theoretically happen. One is that they simply just won't be able to form a coalition government, and then we'll have to have another election just in a short while, or they form an unstable one and it collapses and we'll have elections again. I mean, that's what happened in 2017, where we had elections 1 year apart because we had a three-party coalition government that only... I think it collapsed after 8 or 9 months. Mm-hmm. So,
and it's interesting to just flesh out the possibilities, and they are just possibilities, but it's even conceivable from what you said that no government could be formed, that Hatla would be unable to knock heads together and persuade enough parties to work together, and then we'd be straight back to the polls.
Yeah, it's conceivable. I'm not old enough to remember this, but I think that would be the first time that would ever happen in Iceland.
Okay. So we're also, of course, keeping an eye on the Reykjanes Peninsula once again, just in terms of news stories. We know that land is continuing to rise, magma is continuing to pour into that cavity. And I've made this joke in the office. I'm only saying it out loud so it doesn't happen. The joke is that the next eruption is on the 30th of November on election day. I think if I say it out loud, it won't happen. I don't want it to happen ever, but we don't want it happening on the same day as election day.
No, we absolutely don't. Well, what that would mean is that we're fully staffed here, and we're already live on TV, so...
Yes, we'd already be in the building. So
we'd be in the building and we'd be live, so it would be easy to get the news to the people who are at home watching. No, of course, we hope that won't happen. But then again, it's certainly not impossible. And that's why this summer, when we had the presidential elections, we had an emergency plan.
Yes.
In case something like that would happen. It wasn't fully fleshed out, but we had decided amongst ourselves, what do we do if we're live with the election coverage and an eruption starts?
Well, I was giving the English language commentary of the Sogndalsvikernir final, or whichever Saturday that was back in the spring. And there was a magma flow started at 4 o'clock in the afternoon on the same day, which didn't turn into an eruption. Mm-hmm. But for about an hour, it was looking as if the eruption was going to coincide with the beginning of the Sogndalsvikernir final. We can't, of course, predict that. We can't do anything about what's going to happen on Reykjanes. We all desperately hope there is never an eruption again. My goodness, the people there have been through enough. But we are, of course, keeping an eye on that as well.
Well, there almost definitely will be more eruptions, but it's more a matter of where exactly they'll be.
And when, to an extent, as well. So we will talk again next week, if that's okay.
Definitely.
And we'll have a clearer picture of, the final number of candidates. And, I mean, in terms of, for someone who's not been through this process before in Iceland, what does an election campaign look like? Obviously, the debates are here on RÚV, the national broadcaster, but will we see posters around the place? Will we see TV adverts?
Yeah, we'll see all of it. We'll see posters. We'll see a lot of ads in public spaces. We'll see TV ads, all, everything you're listening to, watching, reading in the media will be very heavily influenced by these elections. You'll see some familiar faces, some new faces from the parties in the media every single day, in various interviews, podcasts, and, you know, a party leader goes to a podcast and says something inflammatory, and it's certainly become news on every single media outlet. So news travels fast in this environment. So yes. You'll see a lot of news coverage.
It's interesting as well to watch Rautharen, which is currently showing the second season of that on RÚV, and it's available on RÚV 2 with English subtitles. Sort of alternative political timeline is unfolding as this election campaign does. And let's not also forget, this is a big country, and we're heading into winter. So for those leaders to get around and cover all parts of the country, in maybe not the depths of winter, but certainly the foothills of winter, it's tricky.
Yeah, that's a challenge. And another challenge could be to actually be able to count the votes within a reasonable time frame. I mean, we're used to having final numbers in the early morning after the elections, 4, 5, 6, maybe 7 at the latest, or at least final enough so we can just call the election. This year around, because the elections are that late, they haven't been this late since, I think it was 1979.
In the year, you mean late in the year.
In the year. Yeah. And then the weather was actually, it had a pretty big effect, because especially in places like the Westfjord, where you have to travel with ballot boxes over long distances, over mountains, they can easily close if the weather is very bad.
Yes.
You can't drive, and you definitely can't fly. So that might mean a delay of 1, maybe even 2 days at the worst. This is unlikely, but it's very much conceivable that we might not have final results until, I don't know, Monday.
And if you've got two blocks or two sort of rough coalitions, each with 31 seats that they can call on, that could be what makes the difference in terms of who the government is. Possible.
Yeah, it's possible. It's more than possible. So
again, I'm just trying to say all the scary things out loud so they don't have to.
Exactly. But I mean, this is not something far out. I mean, this is the roads in the Westfjord close down in the wintertime almost every week. Yeah. So this is not something that just happens once in a blue moon.
No, I mean, getting to Ísafjörður is not guaranteed in the heights
of winter. No. It's so, not. But they still have to, people will vote there, and you have to get the ballot boxes to the place where the votes are counted.
I mean, has there ever been talk of changing the way that votes are cast in Iceland for this reason, to do it electronically or to find a way that doesn't? And people, I mean, people like placing a cross in a bit of paper, but
I think that discussion hasn't been very loud, but there's been more discussion about changing the way the votes are counted and where they're counted, and allowing for counting them in more places than there is being done now.
Yes.
Now every constituency has one place where all the votes in that constituency are counted together.
And there are only 6 constituencies. Yes. And these constituencies
are geographically huge. So you have to gather all the votes from the whole constituency in one town, one room where they're all counted. Yeah. And that is what might be the hiccup here.
So if you vote in somewhere like Reuverhoppen, say, and that road is, you know, the road out of Reuverhoppen to, I guess, Akureyri would be the constituency town. If that road is closed,
then
that vote isn't counted
then
until
that, then you have a problem.
Yeah.
But I mean, a lot has to happen for that road to be closed.
Yes.
Because in these situations, everyone does everything they can to keep it open.
Yeah.
Even if it's just to get that one car through.
Yes. So. Yes. Well, we shall see. We've got a long way to go in this campaign, and as I say, I think it will feel even more like it has properly got underway by the time we get that first debate on Friday, and by the time the candidate list is confirmed as well. So we'll talk again next week, Stigur, if that's all right.
Let's do that.
Stigur Helgason, my colleague here at RÚV, taking our first look at this year's parliamentary election here in Iceland, the second of two elections in what's already been a very busy year. I'm Darren Adam. This is RÚV English Radio. You can get in touch anytime. We're english@ruv.is.
There is more from RÚV English with all the news from Iceland in English at ruv.is/English. RÚV English Radio is a daily English language radio from Iceland's national broadcaster, RÚV.